I want to tell you that what he showed me this morning, and he showed it to me yesterday, I previously gave you a little insight as to how God was really pressing my buttons about how selfish that I can be. And those of you who were here a little earlier heard me give a little bit of where I was in my emotions, and obviously it wasn't a very good place, but because of God's grace, I was able to come out of that anger. And I wanted to chop a few heads. I would have liked to see some, let's say, a change in those that were offending me. How many would like to join me in that little corner? Okay. So when I got home, he had already changed my heart, but I think what he was trying to do is, you know how sometimes you have a knowledge of God doing something, but you need to know that it's his opinion and it's not your own?
Amen.
Okay. So he told me loud and clear, go to James chapter 4. Because how many know you would like to see the root of the problem, not just the fruit of the irritation? Amen? Because if you can cut the taproot, what happens? It won't grow anymore.
Amen?
Amen? So James chapter 4. I also can tell you, I read it in the NIV, but he told me I used to the Amplified because of a couple of verses that I hope will help you in the dilemma. Now, St. James is writing to believers, and he's trying to get their attention that they are human, but he's also trying to give them an awareness of how to overcome. Chapter 4, verse 1. What leads to strife, discord, and feuds? How many have ever tasted discord and feuds? Okay? It's not the McCoys against whoever. It's really you and I. And how to do conflicts and quarrels and fighting originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? I repeat, they arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder, as far as your heart is concerned. You burn with envy and anger, and that's where I was angry, and are not able to obtain the gratification and the contentment and the happiness that you seek. So you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3. Or you do ask God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Say ouch.
Ouch.
Have any of you seen a little bit of what happens right now? Pretty clear? Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vows to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that Scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us. And he yearns for the Spirit to be welcomed with a jealous love. But he gives us more and more grace. There's your answer. He gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. And all others fully. In other words, your response is not how ugly you might think you are, or the emotions that you hold, and how definitely purposeful that they are to fulfill your own gratification. But your cry out. So verse 6, he says, but he gives us more and more grace. The power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. And all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. You say, well, now that hurts. Why? Because you can't depend on number one. You cannot depend on yourself, because if you see that you try to depend only on yourself, you're going to get another level of pride again. Oh, I'm going to do this my way, and I'm going to have the victory no matter what. And I've done that. How many know you're heading for a crash? You're going to head for a crash, because doing it on your own will be rebuilding the old foundations of selfishness. And I can do this. And I'm not saying that in school, on the job, in your relationships, there are seasons that you're going to rely on number one, because you're human. But in your prayer life, you should be crying out for God's grace every step of the way. You should be relying on His abilities to rebuild you into the image and likeness of the one who was faithful to carry out God's plan. The one who's faithful is the Lord. And I'll tell you, when he was faced with the reality that he had to give up his life to pay for us, he had a challenge. And he made the decision to trust God and to trust his plan, which was better than his. But it cost him. And you know, at one point in my life, I didn't understand the cross. I didn't understand why Jesus had to do what he did. I just thought it was a little bit atrocious and overdone. If you know what I'm talking about in your reasoning, put your hand up. Thank you. See, if we use natural understanding to understand the cross, it'll never happen. Because the cross is an insult to our intelligence. Because we look to God as the one who could have found a better way. If there had been a better way, he would not have allowed his son to die so that we could come back to life. And that's the mystery of the cross. It's the same mystery when we cry out for grace that we're saying, within myself, I cannot do it. Because he wants you to rely on his grace. He does not want you to rely on yourself. He definitely wants you to get an education about the Word, but then to use the power of the Word by the Holy Spirit within you to humble yourself and say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. It's too big for me. I can't love so-and-so. Even though I know I should, I can't. Because I'm angry or I'm resentful. And once you confess it, you don't have to go out and speak it to the whole town like I did this morning. But my job is to give you a guideline so that you can come back to life. I don't want you to stay in difficulty. I don't want you to stay in selfishness. I'm still working on that. I'm still trying to release it all to Him. But I fail periodically. Now, you say, why do you fail? You should do it right by now. Yes. But my emotions get the best of me. And they do. And if I don't admit it to you, I'm lying to you. Okay? But if we come together as a house of prayer to intercede for one another, somebody's going to be praying for me when I need it. Somebody will be pressed of God to maybe give me a buzz and say, hey, I know you're hurting today. Can I pray for you? Can I assist you in this hardship? Learning about God's ability by His Spirit to change us is a humbling experience. When we realize that if we try to do it on our own, we're really trusting a foolish theology. Verse 6 again, but He gives us more grace and more grace. Why do you think He puts it there, more and more? I think sometimes we would like to see ourselves growing and maturing in a walk with God so that we can be self, again, edified. We're not always conscious of how proud we are of doing things for the Lord. Can any of you connect with that? Thank you. Verse 7. So be subject to God, stand firm against the devil, resist him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals, and with divided interests. And purify your hearts and your spiritual adultery, of your spiritual adultery. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieved, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord. And He will exalt you, He will lift you up, and make your lives significant. Notice it's he, and not me. How many have a problem with me, myself, and I? Those are awesome, wonderful servants that we love to serve, but it's better if you go according to Him. And you know, my prayer is that this word would come alive in you so that it's not going to look like an accusation, but a future where you can be rebuilt into the image of the one who died for you. Because He really chose that cross by choice. It wasn't His idea. It was the Father's idea. If there had been a better plan, I'm sure the Father would have come up with something. And I heard something this week. I believe it's St. Peter in the book of Acts says, there is no other that can bring you salvation but Jesus Christ. If you think you can find a better way and you can, you know, depend on Allah to become your God, you've got a problem. Because there are many false gods and even false saviors. But there's only one who laid Himself on that cross willingly. By choice. And there are times when we look at that and we say, that's not reasonable. That's where the baffle comes. And the brain says, whoa. But the spirit within you says, there is one who chose to die in my place. And self begins to give in to the lordship of His Spirit, which is in you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. Put one hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm choosing today
to humble myself again.
And to ask you.
And to
to confirm this word in my heart, and to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only offering to wash away my sin and my selfishness. I don't want that in me anymore. And I can't even produce any kind of self-righteousness that will justify me before God. I do rely on what Jesus did for me on that cross. He chose to take my place and pay for all my mistakes. Even the pride, even the selfishness was covered under that blood. And I'm needing grace today. A lot of grace to survive and to come back to life. Help me, Holy Spirit, with those weak areas in my mind, in my soul, my will, and my emotion. And I trust you to rebuild me in the image and likeness of the one who died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And I do have grace available for tomorrow and the next day until the victory is complete. No matter how long it takes. Amen? And amen.